good time here. We are at Horse Thief Hollow in the Beverly neighborhood of Chicago. It's the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. And it's presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. And I noticed it's after 2:30. I got to hit the beer, I think, Bill.
Yep, I'm surprised you waited this long. I'm shocked.
I kind of am, too. But now we're going to talk about something that I loved when I was a teenager, and I still kind of love it. We're going to talk about records, aren't we?
When I was a kid, I grew up in Oak Forest, about 15 minutes away, and every once in a while I was lucky enough, my parents would drop me off at Beverly Rare Records, sometimes for hours, sometimes for days, sometimes for weeks. I haven't seen them in a long time, my parents. I hope they're okay. But it was always so much fun to explore the greatest record shop I've ever been in, Beverly Rare Records. And Jack Dresnes is here along with his son, Johnny. They're the owners and proprietors of that record store. Hi, guys. Nice to see you.
Hey, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Bill. There.
Welcome to Beverly.
I'm so glad to be here. Bill's been here before. I don't think I've been to Beverly before, and I certainly haven't been to the Beverly Record Shop. I have got to go peruse the record albums.
You sure do.
Jack, how did it start? What happened? How did the family get involved in this business?
My mom and dad bought this record store in 1967. It was a novelty store, card shop, and my dad wanted to know where my mom was all the time. She was a real go-getter, and she's never home. And, of course, there's no cell phones. And so
to keep track of her,
he bought her a record store.
I like that.
He knew where she would be during the day, at least. And she developed it into something more. Like, when first started, they had the top 10 records in there.
The 45s. Pretty much.
And the albums. And every week, the guy would come by and change them out, put the new ones in, and take away the old ones. Well, she started getting calls from people looking for the older ones. And so she told the guy, don't take away the old ones. We'll buy those and keep them here in case anybody ever wants them.
It's not like a magazine where it's an outdated issue where they come in and, you know, change that out.
Right, but back then you could send back whatever you didn't sell for credit. Yes.
Huh.
Can't do that anymore with vinyl. You can still do it with CDs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, she developed a reputation in the city for having things that the other stores didn't have. And they had something called the Action Time in the Tribune, where people would write in and ask, where could I find this record, this song? So she would go out and find these things, either from my sister's collection.
And then steal them from your sister
right.
and sell them.
That makes sense, sure.
And she was one of the first people that ever sold used records, you know, except at a garage sale, which I don't know if they had back then. But she would actually sell used records when nobody else was.
And I bet it was kind of weird then.
It was. And when I first started, when I came there in 74, after I got out of the Army, I said, you're selling used records and people are really buying this? She said, yeah. So I couldn't find a job, and I just said, I'll help out here for a while.
How long ago was that?
1974.
Oh, there you go. Good. Keep the hopes up. Everything will be fine. Jack, I remember your mom. I don't think I was ever in the store when I was a kid that your mom wasn't in there. I can't imagine the hours that your mom put in.
Oh, yeah.
But the one thing she passed on to you, and hopefully you passed on to Johnny, was this innate ability, even though the store is vast and there's records in every direction, you would say, here's what I need. Tony Bennett did a recording in 1971, and you just automatically zero in. I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah. We know generally if we have it, we have to probably look in two or three different places. But eventually, if we have had it, we usually find it.
So different categories, of course.
Yeah.
And alphabetical. Did you find Bill Leff in the easy listening?
Between Hall and Oates. Right between. Right in the middle.
And a little bread thrown in.
Yeah, sometimes bread.
There you go. Yep. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, you guys would do special orders for me, and you were very kind, Jack. You would never ask questions, because I'd give you a list of things that didn't go together, and you would just go, uh-huh, and you'd write it down and order it for me. So now the business has changed so dramatically with people having the ability to download. John, this has all happened in your lifetime.
Yeah.
It's a different business now than it used to be, isn't it?
It's different in a lot of ways, Bill, and I heard Wendy and my dad talking during the break about her son is now really into vinyl.
Yeah.
And
Almost exclusively.
I remember growing up, because I grew up in that store. I'm holding my hand up right now, but I was 3 feet tall. And
yeah.
I was walking around the store filing records. The one thing that I remember as a kid was the parents would always drop their kids off at the counter, and I would entertain the kids while the parents would be in the back looking for records.
Sure.
It's the other way around now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm entertaining the parents while the kids are out looking for the Rolling Stones and the Zeppelin albums.
But aren't the parents still, because even when my son's look, I don't have a record player anymore, and I'm not going to go sit in his room on his bed and go, hey, could you put on the White Album? But I still go through them, and it just brings back so much nostalgia and so many memories, and I kissed one guy to this song. I mean, that's honestly, it's all memories about growing
up. You should see the pile Wendy has with that category, Jeff. You wouldn't believe.
Well, it's a lot different because I think we grew up with vinyl. We grew up with that sound. But the kids today, they've never actually heard a vinyl record, so they don't know what it sounds like. It's totally different than the sound of an MP3.
Sure.
I love the pops. I'm sorry. I really do.
The flaws. Yeah.
Right. So to them, it's the opposite of it's watching HDTV for the first time.
Yeah.
Right. There's also the romanticism of the liner notes about reading what went into the making of the album. There's also something to be said for the order that the songs are in. If you're downloading one song at a time, you don't get that. It's put together for a reason.
Right.
So that's kind of lost, right?
That and the B-sides.
Yeah.
When you download one song, that's all you get.
Right.
With a single or even an album, you got... you bought the album and you have 12 songs to listen to, and you maybe knew two of them, but you really like the other ones that you never knew about.
And there's something to be said, and I imagine that artists would prefer having vinyl, and I know a lot of current acts are definitely going back to vinyl and maybe just doing vinyl. Aren't there some contemporary groups that are just doing vinyl?
Jack White, for sure.
Yeah, Jack White, exactly. He's got a record store out in Nashville.
Right.
But it's like, I mean, come on, admit it. You'd find your favorite song on the album, and you would, I guess, take the time to lift the needle and put it back and listen to it like 20 times. But sometimes you got lazy, and that's when you would listen to the whole album side and go, wow, I never really would have listened to that song, but it's I like that Boston, song, other than...
More than a feeling.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So after spending a whole day or week or month or year in the record store, you go home. What music do you put on? What are you not sick of that you go...
I put on WGN.
Do you? Oh, you have good taste. You have very good taste.
I've had enough music by that time.
Good.
I listen to WGN. I used to listen to Eddie Schwartz every night.
Sure.
Oh, Chicago Ed was fantastic.
And then you guys would come on with Steve and Johnny from time to time,
Once in a while, Jack.
Johnny, yeah.
They'd come down to the store, too. They used to live in Indiana, and the store was kind of on the way home for them.
Right.
And I haven't seen them for a while, but I hear they're doing well in Florida. And
do you know what they showed me? Because they had the night show after Eddie Schwartz, and then I succeeded them at night.
Right.
And they said to me, there's a room here at WGN. I don't know if they ever showed you this room that you need to see. And it was a vault that had all the old records
the
that they used
library,
to play.
Yeah. John Teller, what was his name? John Teller or something, but yeah.
He ran it?
Yeah.
It was John Tondelli.
Tondelli. The music librarian. Great guy.
You'd be good at charades, Bill, by the way.
I had no idea. That was a hard one.
Yeah. And every radio station had those music libraries.
Right.
And you had several copies of each record because if one broke or somebody skipped it, you needed to play another one. BeverlyRecords.com is the website, which is funny that you have a website even though you're encouraging people to come in and go through record by record by record.
Exactly. But Johnny here is our social media guru, and he takes care of our website and Twitter and all these things that I don't know anything about.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then more with the guys from Beverly Rare Records. Jack and Johnny are here. If you want to visit the store and you need to see it to believe it, it's at 11612 11612 Southwestern Avenue. That's Beverly Rare Records. And then the website is beverlyrecords.com. We'll be back in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live in action, people, from Horse Thief Hollow in Chicago. It's presented by Allstate agent Francis Wright, whom we met earlier, And Bill, we're talking to the owners of the Beverly Record Shop, and I just have to tell you, you're from the South Side,
yes.
All right?
Yes.
So when you have five digits in an address, I was often confused about how to say it.
Well, I can help you with that, Wendy. It's 11612 Southwestern Avenue.
Exactly.
That's how you're supposed to say it.
But that's because it's like 116th and Western. Is that
yes.
It's the hundreds? Because I think you said 11612 last time.
Yes, that would be wrong. Don't go to that address because you're not welcome there. Go to 11612 Southwestern.
Some
that's
of us
what you need
who
to do.
Aren't from the South Side don't even know how to pronounce that, though. It's like, wait, there's one louder.
Right.
It's one extra.
Right. That's very, very true. Guys, what is the silliest question anyone's ever asked you, unless it was me who asked, in which case we'll just forego that question?
Well, in 1974, when I was doing my apprenticeship there, I got a phone call, and somebody asked me, do you have any records by Jelly Roll Morton?
Sure.
I said, who?
Yeah.
Jelly Roll Morton, he's real famous. I said, I've never heard of him. I think you're pulling my leg. So I went in the back. I looked under Jazz, under M. Sure enough, we had a whole section of Jelly Roll
Morton. Sure, very popular.
And that's what convinced me to stay there, because you never know who's going to ask for something silly.
One of our listeners just came up and asked if you guys still carry the needles. And the answer is yes, you do. You have an extensive array of needles.
Every needle you need, yes.
Yeah.
Just take a picture of it. Yep, take a picture of your cartridge, and we could match it up or bring in the old one.
See, it used to be you could go, when record players were the thing, you could go almost anywhere. Zayer would have them. I mean, anywhere you
went. Every neighborhood had a record store.
Yeah.
And a stereo store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's changed
dramatically. But now all the electronic companies, not all of them, but a lot of them, are making turntables again. It's weird. They're coming. I hope they save the mold because they did go away for a while. Bill, you still using your close and play?
Yeah, it's working like a charm. I'm not getting rid of my close and play. Open it, it plays. Close it, it stops. What else do you need?
My sister bought my husband and I a Victrola for our wedding gift, and it works. And it's weird that there's no cords. The kids were puzzled. Where does it plug in? No, it doesn't. You crank it up.
Yeah.
And
for volume, you open the cupboard.
You do. You open the cabinet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like a salesman. Everybody has the same thing. You need volume, and you just open the cabinet. And then it's so weird because when we got it, it came with some extra needles, but there were also some wooden pieces. That was how you played records.
They were Keknes needles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
still have some of them just sitting on top. We use the real needles.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's pretty cool.
Guys, I'm a big Beatles fan, and the one Beatles issue that always has eluded me is the one that every Beatles fan wants but can't get. It's the Butcher Block album cover. Very, very rare. Have you had that in, and what does that go for when you do have it?
We haven't had it for probably 20 years, but it's what the market will give you as far as the condition, but peel off and original.
Yeah, there's a lot of different versions of that, and I'd say the rarest version of the Butcher cover is the one that hasn't been peeled.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
If you can find one, because everybody who doesn't know the story, the Beatles came out with a LSD and...
Induced record album cover.
Shame on those lads from I'm telling you.
It'll be their downfall, yeah. Wendy. Nobody will ever listen to them again.
And when Capitol Records found out what they were doing, they said, no, you can't put that on the record cover. So they quickly came up with a new cover and slapped it over the original ones. And there was one that I saw on auction. I don't remember the price, but I remember seeing it.
It's in the thousands, isn't it?
Oh, easy.
Easy in the thousands.
It was a cover that has not been peeled, but they could tell that the original Butcher cover was underneath it.
Really?
Was there LSD on the record?
No, Wendy, you can't do that. That's
like,
that would
what
be wrong.
A deal, two in one.
But
used to use them to clean pot. Now you can trip, too. Wow.
You could get Ringo to come to your house and perform for less than it would cost to buy this
You're
album.
You're probably right.
Yeah, yeah. What is, if it's okay to ask, what is the rarest or most valuable piece you guys have had over the years?
Geez, we had that record by that garage band out of South Bend. What was it? Well, you know what? I have a Black Patty 78 RPM that's worth about $20,000.
Why would that be?
Black Patty is one of what they called race records.
Yeah.
And there was about probably 100 copies made of this back in the 20s. And it's
but it was offensive, so they didn't want it on the market?
No, this was in the 20s. They didn't make a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it's a very collectible thing.
And is it a person or a group?
It's
Black
a person.
Patty.
Wow.
That's a label.
Oh, okay. Oh. See, I've never heard of that.
Black Patty.
And it would go for what again?
Probably
$20,000.
Jeez.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
For a 78.
For a 78.
Well, will that be on sale during your Black Friday sale?
Sure. Come on down. 20% off.
Everything must go. Really quickly, Jack, we don't have a whole lot of time, but the shirt you're wearing has some significance, doesn't it?
I'm wearing this shirt. It says, "No Whining at Ellie's Lakefront Tap."
And
on the back it says...
On the back it says Ellie's Clear...
Clear Lake, Iowa.
Clear Lake, Iowa.
And why would we know
Clear
Lake, Iowa?
Who knows what Clear Lake, Iowa is?
Anybody yell it out if you know it.
There's somebody over on that side who knows. Go ahead, man.
Yell it out. Can't hear you. Just yell it out. Can't hear.
No,
can't hear.
All right, so what is the significance of that?
Why, Jack?
Clear Lake, Iowa, February 2nd, 1959. What happened?
That would be...
It was the last concert of the Winter Dance Party tour.
That would be the day the music died.
The day the music died, yes.
Right?
And every year in the first week of February, they have a celebration of the music to remember what happened and to carry on the tradition and carry on the music. And every year I go there with my friends and we have a ball.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, an important day in music history, to be certain.
Black Friday sale at your location. Give that information real quickly.
Okay, next Friday, 11612 Southwestern. We're taking over the bar next door. Danny's calling in.
Does Danny know that?
Danny's not happy about this,
Jack. He does not know it, but we're going to fill his bar with records, and we'll sell them. It's a great deal, $2 a record, and we'll have football going and some bands and the DJ spinning.
Football or the Bears, depending on what's on that day.
No, come on down. We've got 20% off all our used vinyl in the store. And next door, we have this record fair that we've been doing on Record Store Day and on Black Friday for the last few years. So
that's perfect.
I think we'll see you there.
That sounds
great.
Like a great time. Guys, great to see you again.
Thank you.
It's always fun to visit Beverly Rare Records. They're at 11612 Southwestern Avenue, here in Beverly. Go to beverlyrecords.com. Your information's there. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Ro and Anna have.